My scriptures this morning are from Romans chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. And Paul is making reference back to Genesis chapter 15. And it has to do with Abraham. Aaron, it's in the King James that I have today. Romans chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, if you would please. And I know it'll be on the recording, but it'll be nice that we all can find it too. And this is how it is written. Paul wrote this. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. And I'm pausing there because when God spoke that to Abraham, he stated what he had already done. It's really important to see that. I have made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Past tense. So shall your seed be. Now get this picture. Abraham's nearly 100 years old. Sarah's not much younger. Can you imagine in the house, Abraham comes around, wow, Sarah, God spoke to me. He gave me a word. I'm going to be the father of many nations, and that means we've got to have a lot of kids. Ever been to a nursing home? I can't imagine what her... when the angel of the Lord came in another portion, she laughed when she heard that word. And I was just thinking about the excitement of his purpose in life had not yet been fulfilled. Even at that age, God still had something else for him. And for those of us that are in our, I would say our 60s, but I'm beyond that now, even in our 70s, some of us, we're not done yet. This game isn't over. There's a lot left for God to work into our lives and accomplish through us. You know, when we opened with that song, Everything That Has Breath, Praise the Lord, don't stop praising him. So let's read on. Because I wrote some notes down that are quite relevant, you know, probably, Lorraine, a bit similar to what Joyce Myers had written, but it has to do with the same topic and looking at things that were already spoken and done and quit asking God for stuff that he said he already has done. You're wasting your time and you're showing him that you don't really have faith and that you don't believe in his promises if we keep doing that. And that's the truth of the matter. There, I said it. Good. Okay, here we go. What was the promise God made to Abraham? Well, I had to find out what he said concerning that. So I also went to where Paul gave the reference. It's Genesis 15:5. And here is what is written. And he, meaning God, brought him, meaning Abraham, from abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you be able to number them. Basically, he said, Abraham, look up at the sky. Can you see how many stars there are? Can you count all the stars that there are? And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. Now, that's a numberless multitude. If you can't count all the stars in the sky by looking up at them, I mean, Sarah must have thought, oh my God, I'm too old to be a baby factory. You know, you're thinking like, he brought that word home. Surely he had to tell her. I mean, I run home and tell Faith everything God tells me most of the time, and she'll either laugh or be in agreement, or nah, we don't do that. But they must have had that conversation in their age. And, you know, put yourself into these things. What would you do? How would you handle that if if the Lord came to you and said to you these things, I think it would be rather shocking. And yet, in spite of that, what is so cool is if you read the rest of that account in Romans chapter 4, that he staggered not at the promise in unbelief. He wasn't blown away by it. It's like, no big deal. God said it. This is it. So, all right. Genesis 15:6. And listen to this. This is speaking about Abraham after God gave him that promise. Abraham, it's written of Abraham, and he believed in the Lord. He believed what God spoke to him. And I know a lot of people when later in Isaac was born, and the Lord told Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain. And the way it's written, it sounds like God wanted Abraham to set his son on fire as a burnt offering. And Abraham was willing to take his son up, his firstborn son, and do that. But Abraham said the Lord would provide the lamb, because he knew God well enough to know that God wasn't asking him to kill his son. He also knew God well enough to know that his son had to be born in order to fulfill those prophecies of those scriptures that God gave him, that he was going to be the father of many nations. And so someone in his lineage had to be born. And that pattern would continue for quite some time. So he didn't freak out. He did. He told his son when Isaac asked him, am I going to be the sacrifice? And God will provide the lamb. Those are just little pointers that showed me what kind of faith Abraham had. You know, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and yet we sometimes need a confirmation. We just seem to be wired that way. It means a lot if someone else comes and says something that, you know, you sense in your spirit God has spoken to you. But I don't know who Abraham, he probably didn't get that from his wife, where he got a confirmation of that. He just responded immediately. And I think that's, we need to be attentive that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us as well, you may not find someone to get a confirmation from. You're going to have to learn to hear from the Spirit yourselves, because we're all capable of that. And when he speaks, we need to learn to recognize his voice. He's the spirit of truth. The devil's the spirit of the liar. He's also the spirit that's going to reveal the word of God to you and I. And whatever is spoken, if someone comes to you and speaks something to you or prophesies something to you, it will always be in agreement with the word if it comes from the Lord. If it doesn't, check it. Notice that God did not say to Abraham, I'm going to do it. What did it say back up in verse 17? Did it not say, I have made you?
Amen.
Okay, I want you to go back and let that just gel in your spirit for a minute. I have made you. And then he told him what he's made him. So Abraham now has the opportunity, yeah, but you know, I'm 100 and my wife is 99, and Father, you got to make another way. I just can't see that happening at my age. No, you know what he did? He immediately acted on it. Doesn't even say that he questioned it. He said he believed. You may hear some really far out things in your spirit sometimes that the Lord might speak to you. But if you know it's him, that's the key. You won't doubt. You won't flounder. You won't wander from that. And you'll take that promise and receive it. You know, she talked about the promises. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. You don't even have to read another verse of scripture about that. Look up all the scriptures that talk about in him, in Christ. There's a promise in every single one of those. Yeah, and he gives us grace to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, even as a body, sometimes it seems like we've learned to turn if the Spirit is moving in a way that we don't want to get left behind, kind of. We just are quick as a body to turn, like if it's to pray for somebody, or when we had the celebration of life for Peggy here, we didn't really have to change much of anything to do that. And the Spirit brings us together as a body, and that's important too, that we look at the bigger picture. Okay, so let's go on. Notice that God did not say, "I'm going to do it." He said, "I have made you." And that's those key words. When God made that promise, Abraham was 99 and childless. But Abraham was told he was not to believe. He was going to be, future tense, a father. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is." You see, faith is a present tense. Jesus talked about when you pray, believe that you receive it. He said, when you pray, believe you receive it. So all of these other scriptures that we're familiar with begin to tie in and come into place. And they fit very nicely into a nice little faith package. That's really important for us when we pray too. When we pray, try as much as you can not to undo your prayer. Don't perpetuate something that you've already prayed for. Don't keep confessing that it's not happened, that it's not manifest, because you don't know what God has to go through sometimes to make things happen, to honor somebody's faith. I could give you countless instances of people I've had the privilege of praying for, and we believe from the time we pray that it's done. And it's because of this, these principles. When God said it, it's settled. There's no argument about it. And so those who are always going to get something never get it, because they don't believe that it's already done. We're moved by what we see. We're moved by what we hear. We know that the physical realm has a hard time catching up and getting agreement with the Spirit. But it's the Spirit that's in harmony and unity with the Word and with the Father. Not our flesh. That never will be. That's why we have to take authority over our own flesh and subdue it. Bring it into subjection to the Spirit man. So they're never going to get it, because they're always looking at it as a future event when God has already done something. And so if you catch yourself, maybe it might be a while since you prayed, and you think that, I don't know, God's pretty old, he's Ancient of Days, maybe the batteries in his hearing aids aren't working or something, and he really didn't hear you. It's a wonderful reminder to come back to realize, if he's already done something, base your faith on that fact. It's the same with the ones who say, "I'm going to get saved sometime." Well, sometime might not happen. When the Spirit's moving in a person's life, that's the time. Or, "I'm going to get my healing sometime." That's a real easy one to think like that. Because the enemy can put all kinds of thoughts and doubts in our minds. Joyce is not saying anything strange about that. It's a fact of our Christianity that we pray, we believe, we receive. But the problem is the enemy gets us to look at the time, you see, before we see the manifestation. But faith says, believe that you receive it. When you pray, and Jesus said, and you will have it. He didn't put a timeline on it either. He didn't say when. He said, believe, you'll have it. So we have to take him at his word. He doesn't lie. He cannot lie. So it has to be the truth. Faith is always present tense, Hebrews 11:1. Abraham had to believe that he was made the father of many nations, not that he was going to be. Because if he thought that it was yet to be, it might never have happened. These are just helpful to us because we're all called to walk by faith and faith works by love. The Father of many nations, see, faith calls those things that be not as though they were. And you'll see those scriptures also in Romans chapter 4, because that's the God kind of faith. He speaks to those things that be not as though they were. And that practice is, since Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, that's how we need to see things as well. Speak to those things that be not as though they were. That's where I found out how much prayers of thanksgiving are of great value. When you prayed for, from that time on, you thank God for what you received. And you'll find that thanksgiving is showing the Lord that you have faith to believe that you have received what he's provided when you prayed. In thanksgiving, a prayer of thanksgiving kind of seals that. And even no matter the time, if you just keep thanking God for putting Isaiah's hip back into place. So you don't have to pray that anymore. We pray today again. Now is to just thank every time you look at him and just say, Father, I just thank you for Isaiah and for putting his hip back in the place. You created him, and that ought not to be. And I just thank you for that new hip. That's what causes them to come to pass. A couple other notes. I want to make sure that Kenny has plenty of time today too. And I'm excited about that. I've never heard him speak. When the Lord gives him something, and I'm just so blessed, and I can hardly wait. Okay, Abraham did not believe according to what he could see. Abraham did not believe according to what he could feel. Abraham did not believe according to what his physical senses told him. Abraham did not believe according to what his mind told him. Can you imagine how the devil could have had a field day with what God told Abraham at his age? My goodness. How he stood against that. And he weren't even born again. Imagine that. I mean, you know, when you think about these people in the Old Covenant that knew God's voice when he spoke, and the Holy Spirit, they did not have him indwelling them. He led them by the pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day. But they were not filled with the Spirit, and he was not abiding within them. And yet, when God spoke, they knew. God made a way for them to know it was him. Abraham believed according to what God had spoken to him. And that's a real key right there. So knowing the scripture is really helpful to me and brought me through a lot of times and places since we got saved. Just knowing. It's like you said, there's something special about it when the Lord speaks to you. There's a knowing in your spirit. And your flesh may be slow to catch up, but eventually it will. When opposition and contradicting circumstances have said, no, you don't have it. I stood my ground and spoke from my heart. I believe according to that which is spoken. So you can always come back to the word. That's the foundation for all of us. And that which is spoken is God's word. So, you know, through the testimonies and things spoken, this issue of faith has come up. And now to me, if I were looking for a confirmation as to whether I zoned out on the airplane for 18 hours getting here and I just thought I'd make something up, I don't have the ability to do that. I'm not really good at that. But when you started talking about Joyce's book and the issues of faith, then I knew, because Abraham had that same opportunity, because Romans 4, you could add a little bit further, he staggered not in unbelief. He was not going to allow the enemy or a spirit of unbelief rob him of that promise that God made him. So be encouraged. Hug each other in faith that there'll be another one any time of the day that you choose. But for right now, let's do it now. And it's so good to be back.